Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and I'm delighted today to welcome Diane Goebel, co-author of The Transformative Power of Near-Death Experiences, along with Dr. Penny Santori and Kelly Walsh. Diane Goebel, a former guest of the show, continues to share her amazing experiences and awareness through her own near-death experience and the fundamental message behind every NDE, which is one of love, peace, compassion for others, and the transformational power that transcends cultures, faiths, and creeds. Hello, Diane, and thank you for joining us again on Healing From Within.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you for having me back.
Diane, as listeners of the show, and you well know, my guests and I, we share our intimate and exceptional stories that sometimes border on the extraordinary limits of our physical reality in the hopes of learning more about the universal laws of energy and how we, as multidimensional beings, have the potential to understand three-dimensional life in its physical restrictions and limitations and to move to higher consciousness so we may learn what lies beyond this life in other realms and realities. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Diane Goebel, author of several books, including Beyond the Veil, shares her lifetime interest in sharing and understanding that though each person's experience is unique, the spiritual aspects of life, near-death experiences, share a common theme and offer, and the near-death experiencers bring back from their experience heightened intuition and a desire, a sincere desire to share what they have experienced there in order to make themselves whole and in order to improve life here on this planet. Now, you may remember, Diane, that I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and an experienced person or event that may have been profound and led them to follow the path to adulthood for the purpose of perhaps completing their soul destiny and perhaps leading the life that they were born to lead. So I know each time we do this, something else pops into our mind and we have something else to offer. So think back to that.
Well, my sister just tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, what about me? My sister was 8 years old when she passed, and I was 10. And nobody explained death to me. I didn't know where she went. I didn't understand why she wasn't there anymore. I mean, seeing her body in the casket, my father, I remember he held me up to kiss her goodbye and she was ice cold and nobody told me that she was going to be ice cold. And, you know, the whole thing was just very traumatic. And
so sad.
I buried that, you know, I suffered all the way through high school with that stigma of, I don't know, one of your siblings died, and so there's something wrong with you. I don't know what I thought, but I just had a very troubled childhood, and my parents didn't deal with that with me very well.
No, as a young child, when I was in junior high school, one day a boy didn't come into school. He sat next to me, and he wasn't there, and he was always there. And later I learned that he had died in an accident. And I couldn't even fathom that he was gone. I didn't understand death. I didn't think anybody ever leaves, because somehow a part of me knew that our soul or our energy or spirit, there is no death. There's only transformation of the soul to other forms of life. I knew it, but of course I couldn't explain it, but I always felt him around me. And Of course, now as a medium and an intuitive healer, this is
Well,
many
yeah.
years later, I can express in the appropriate words that we are eternal and we are energy beings, spiritual beings, having a physical life. And that's why I couldn't accept it. And I'm very sorry that you had to see that. It would have been okay if your parents would have not brought you into that room to see
I know.
that, you know.
And her death was sudden too. It was an accident. So it was like we were playing, and then she went out to play with her friends, and I was with my friends, and the next thing I knew, we were in the hospital, and she was dead.
It's all too much for a young mind and heart
Yeah,
to take in.
it was
And,
awful.
you know, in the Jewish religion, they don't allow children to the cemetery.
Yeah.
It's not even
Oh yeah,
allowed.
seeing the casket lowered into the grave, I
It
remember
is,
as being very traumatic.
I'm sure, and it's really not necessary, but everyone has their own beliefs about this and what they want to do, but they really need to think about, you know, a child's sensitivity and what's appropriate for them at that time. So I'm sorry you had to experience that. But
Yeah,
let's
that
go
was
on
rough.
to, yeah, let's go on to, tell us how you became involved with Dr. Penny Satori and Kelly Walsh. And there's other people, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Dr. Eben Alexander, Neil Donald Walsh, and others who contributed to this anthology of near-death experiences. And
Yeah.
why do you think there are so many stories of this kind being talked about now?
I would say probably because of the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that multiplied the effect because, you know, when my experience happened, it was 1971, and you didn't talk about this, they'd commit you. You obviously were delusional or schizophrenic or whatever, and, you know, they'd put you in the ward and give you drugs. So we didn't talk about it, and it wasn't until Dr. Moody's book came out in, I think, mid-1970s, Life After Life, and, you know, that kind of opened it up. So it's progressively gotten out there more and more and more and more, and with the internet, it just kind of exploded.
Well, there are many more people who are aware of metaphysics and quantum physics and the science approach to understanding that we are energy beings and our thoughts and our physical, our heartbeat, everything about us radiates energy and an aura. And so it's much more understood, but still, there are many people who still think you're dead, you're in the ground, you're finished. That's all that you are,
Right.
is this physical vessel. So it's still, while it's come farther along, we have a ways to go. But tell us more about your 1971, before your 30th birthday, when you
Well,
drowned.
Let me start with how I got involved with the book.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. So it came about after a very depressed young woman in England named Kelly Walsh overdosed. And she was taken to the hospital after several days, and it was a long, drawn-out process. And in that period she was in the hospital, she had a spiritually transformative experience. And her message when she came back was that like-minded souls would collaborate and change the world through the power of love. That was like her motto. She didn't really know what that meant at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she quickly changed, her personality changed from being a suicidal, anxious, and depressed human being to being incredibly positive and loving for the first time in her life. And she ended up starting a foundation based on positivity power, as she calls it, to help lift children around the world out of poverty and suffering. So her path already was turning to, it's like, okay, now how do I spread my message? And so she started looking on the internet, and that's how she came across Dr. Penny Sartori. So Penny had been an intensive care nurse in the UK for 21 years, and she developed an interest in near-death experiences after a patient who died and was resuscitated told her about his out-of-body experience, and then she began to question death and what happens when we die, and that began her research into near-death experiences. So she looked into it for a number of years and interviewed patients and was awarded her PhD for her thesis, The Wisdom of near-death experiences. So all of this comes together when Kelly sends Penny an email about her experience and says she wants to talk to her. And this is in 2014. Well, Penny's book had just been published by Watkins, and she had been doing speaking engagements all over Europe for months and months and was inundated with emails that she had to answer, and she was pregnant. So she wasn't really looking for a project. But after she talked to Kelly, she found herself wanting to answer the question, what is it about near-death experiences and spiritually transformative experiences that makes them so powerful that they change the way people perceive themselves and live their lives afterwards? Mm. So through her connections, her publisher Watkins agreed to publish the book, and Kelly searched the internet and found 20-some near-death experiences around the world who were willing to contribute their transformational stories to the book. And that's how she found me, was by looking on the internet. So my story has been included in several other books about near-death experiences, but I found this project particularly interesting because it deals with the effects these mind-blowing experiences have on people's lives that are unknown, basically. So for this book, I had to rewrite my story from a different angle, focusing on the after effects. So all of these other people who came on board, Neil Donald Walsh, there was a connection, she went to a seminar and he was there and somehow she met him, and he, at the same time, he got his new book galleys, he got her PDF, and he had to sit down and read the book, the draft, and he was in love with the book, so he wanted to participate. And then Bernie Siegel somehow found out about it, was connected to somebody, and he wrote a chapter, he had a near-death experience, that's what started him on all of his work. And even Alexander and Anna Morishani, who were some of the near-death experiences who were out in the speaker's circuit with their books and stuff, they came on board and wanted to endorse the book. And so it's just been going and going and growing.
Well, let me just say that all these people have been guests on this show. And I'm going to say for our audience listening, do you think it's a coincidence how these people are brought together. Well, no, I think nothing's random. And it's the universe way of bringing like-minded people, like Kelly said, that would be brought together to express their newfound love of life and how to contribute in a positive way to knowing the truth about who we are and to find our life path and destiny so that we can truly find peace and health and prosperity and love, because the physical world is not what brings it to us. It's from within and this connection to this alignment to spirit, and through a near-death experience or a spiritual transformative experience, that's what you're really connecting to, the universal energy of eternal life and wisdom and creativity. So I think it's wonderful that we just mentioned so many wonderful people who have had trying experiences, but through it have come to know themselves and life and the universe in a way that they can participate in bringing a new energy to our world, which is desperately needed now in these challenging times. So,
that's another thing. You know, you talk about, well, why is this all of this coming out now? Well, the times are so challenging; they are in dire need of this sort of thing to let people know that this isn't that what you're seeing in the headlines is not what the world is all about.
No.
You know,
this is
it's just a deeper thing.
Yeah, this is a way to awaken many more people so that they can start to see what is ludicrous and silly about the way people invest their time and energy, and what could be uniquely compassionate and loving and valuable. And that's what's happening. But did you want to tell us in a short version of what happened when you drowned?
Yes, sure. So I was rafting down the Chattooga River in northeastern Georgia with my husband, my teenage sister, and five crew members from the movie Deliverance, which was all filmed on the river. My husband was a cameraman. When we made a big mistake and our raft got turned around backwards and became stuck in a hydraulic, which is a phenomenon that the water just goes down into a deep hole and rolls around and it traps things in it, like rafts and kayaks.
Mm-hmm.
And because we went around backwards, the other woman in the raft got thrown out, and the two men and I got thrown out. So I was in the front of the raft, now I'm in the back of the raft, and so I fall out the back of the raft, but one of the men was able to grab my arm, and so the water would pull me down and then push me back up, and so I would get a breath. So all the time this is happening to me, I'm extremely calm. I know I'm going to die. I realize that that's what's going to happen, and I'm trying to decide what's the best way to die, because I'm being pounded into the rocks and pounded into the raft and pulled under the water. So I finally decided very calmly that the best way to die was to drown. Mm. So the next time I was able to get a breath, I shouted, "Let go," and they did, and I was sucked down under the water, and I inhaled, and everything went black, which I was an agnostic at the time, and that's exactly what I expected. It's over, done. But then suddenly I realized I was floating above the river, looking down, watching what was going on. Everybody was running around like crazy, trying to figure out where my body was. It was under the raft, apparently. So I thought I should stop my husband from jumping in the water to try to save me. And suddenly I was by his side, and I thought I was reaching out to try to stop him. But I didn't have an arm. I didn't have a body. And it was only then that I realized, oh, my God, I'm dead. And as soon as I realized that, I was pulled away from the forest, away from the planet. I was speeding through dark space toward a beautiful light a billion miles away. It was like in Star Trek when the Enterprise went into warp drive and the streaks mm-hmm. of light went by. It was kind of like that. But at the same time, I don't know whether I was moving or it was moving. It was like time stood still or there was no time. It was a very strange, it was dark, very strange. But I was overwhelmed with feelings of unconditional love and peace. I knew I was going home. I knew I had done this before, thousands of times. Reincarnation made complete sense. Even the Bible made sense once I finally remembered all I had forgotten when I became human, because we forget it all.
Yes.
When we become human. Otherwise, you know, people always say, well, why do we forget? Well, because if you knew coming in, you wouldn't learn anything.
You wouldn't put the effort forward to refine your soul energy and become right. what you are. You are just realizing yeah. you know, what you already are through the experiences of a physical life. Very, very well said. So what happened next?
So I had no feelings about my going back to my body or even my family. I just wanted to know more. I wanted to be home. I wanted to see this. I wanted to be in this experience. And I realized I was accompanied by a being of light. It wasn't a male or female, it didn't have a shape or form, we communicated telepathically. I can't describe what it was, but somebody who I've always known and been with through all of my lifetimes and in my existence, and every question that I had was answered before I could ask it, and we were just having this wonderful time as we got closer and closer to the light. It was kind of like when we came up to it, like the lens of the camera opens, and it just opened up, and I could see into this other dimension, and it was just unbelievably beautiful. I still can't even describe it. Everything was 1,000 times more than it is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen on Earth. It's just ineffable. You know, there are no words. We don't have words.
We don't have the language for that kind of experience. But go on, Diane. We have to know the common remembrances of most people who have a near-death experience. So what happens to most people afterwards? They change so drastically. So tell us something about that after your experience.
Okay, well, let me tell you how the experience ends, because it's kind of interesting. It's another one of those things that suddenly happen, and it's like, whoa, what the heck was that? So I'm discussing about whether to go back. Just being of light is, you know, do you want to go back? Do you want to stay? And I'm thinking, this is really neat. I really like it here. And I don't want to go back. I'm good. But then I was told that if I went back, I would be given information to share that would be helpful to humanity. And I thought, well, that sounds like a good thing. And before I could even say yes or no, I was suddenly pulled into this tall, very tall crystal structure that I was told was the Hall of Knowledge. And as I flew through it, I spiraled upwards like through human history, and I met with all of the great sages and teachers of Earth's past, absorbing knowledge as I went. It's like speaking to Socrates and Jesus and Buddha and Aristotle. You know, it's like I met them all. And at one point I looked up and I wondered what would happen when I reached the top, when I suddenly crashed through it. And it was like shards of sparkling colored glass shattered all around me. And at the exact same instant, my head popped out of the water 100 yards down the river from the raft that was still stuck in the hydraulic. So I was able to grab onto a rock and hold on until my husband got to me and helped me out of the river. And all I could tell him right then was that I went someplace else.
Well, that was a good thing to say. You had to process what happened, and I'm sure it took you a long time. Sometimes it takes people up to 7 years to process a near-death experience. Yeah, so that was what you said to him, because it is a lot to process. A great deal.
Now, I didn't have a broken bone. I didn't have a black and blue mark. I coughed up a little water, but I was basically fine. Now, how did I get from there to there? If you saw a video, and I have a video of the rapids that we went through, you would really wonder why I'm still here. And this was 1971. We were in the middle of the Smoky Mountains. There were no phones, no 911 to call, you know. But I have no memory of being in the river, and I'm a water person. I have no memory of fighting the currents or trying to breathe or avoiding the rocks and the trees and the whatnot in the water.
Well, maybe that was the healing influence of the place you were in and the light you were in to take that away from you, so you, when you came back, you can realize the beauty of life beyond and life here in a way without maybe it was a gift. A gift from spirit to you, not to have that horrible feeling of remembering that. I'd like to think of that way.
The mountain men said that the reason I survived was that I surrendered to the river.
Yes.
So I offered no resistance. I wasn't trying to save myself. I just let go, and the river took my body. And it's good in a kayak. I've seen it done in a kayak. It's a good 3 minutes in a kayak paddling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could have taken anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes for the whole thing to happen. It wasn't very long, but long enough to, I mean, I had really, if I tell my whole story, it's a good hour-long story because of all that I went through.
Yes, so in this book, this collection of stories, some of the people who are mentioned, like Erica McKenzie, whose battle with weight led her to helping people all over the world after her NDE, and Catherine Baldwin, who fell in a pool as a child and had an NDE, it led her to develop healing techniques that have benefited thousands of people. And William Peters' NDE, these are all stories that are in the book, led him to develop the Shared Crossing Project, and Robert Tremblay's NDE has given him the strength to live with a debilitating disease for years. So something comes out of an NDE that changes a person and makes them live the rest of their life in fulfilling their dreams and their wish to help others. So why do you think this is?
You have to figure out what happened, and just in trying to figure it out, it leads you somewhere else. I mean, what happened to me, it happened in 1971. It was 2 months before my 30th birthday, and I was perfectly content with being a stay-at-home mom with 3 children, following my husband around the country as he pursued his career as a motion picture cameraman. I had no thoughts of doing anything else other than living the Hollywood dream. And then this happened, and my whole life completely fell apart. I lost everything. Talk about PTSD. My husband left me. He tried to take the children away from me. He did for a while. I had no money. I had no place to live. It was just a mess. Almost to the day, 7 years later, I ended up going back to college. And I had dropped out at 19 because I thought I wasn't smart enough. But now I was on the dean's list every semester. I just seemed to know everything without having to do any studying. So I earned a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's in psychology, and I ended up working in the field of death and dying in many different ways.
Me too. I worked with hospice for 8 years too. And my transformative experience happened when I was sick with the flu. I don't know if I had a near-death experience, but my grandfather was standing by my side and telling me I had to write something for my father. And the next day, I received a call. My father had passed, and I wrote his eulogy. But my whole life changed after that, just like yours, because we were called to do something else. And that's what these experiences, I don't know if we were born to have that experience, or in having that experience, it changed us so much, we became almost a different person.
Can I share the philanthropic process, purpose behind this book?
Sure.
Penny and Kelly started a Love Care Share Foundation with the mission to rid the world of negativity and create a more loving, caring, sharing world. So they're aiming programs at making a positive difference in the lives of children around the world who are affected by poverty and suffering. But all of the royalties from the book, none of us, even Kelly or Dr. Penny, get any of it. All the money goes to the Love Care Share Foundation.
Thank you for putting that in, because it's very appropriate to what happens after a spiritual transformative experience or a near-death experience. You become a universal being of goodness and graciousness and love, and you can bring heaven to earth, so to put it. So I want to thank you, Diane Goebel, co-author with Dr. Penny Satori and Kelly Walsh, and all the others who have told their story in the book, The Transformative Power of Near-Death Experiences, and they've shared their amazing journey to the core of life and light, the home we originate from and return to, showing us that near-death experiences are like messages from above, offering us the truth about our divine nature, and offering infinite possibilities for love and creation. For more information and to purchase this sensitive and truly focused, truthful story of NDEs, go to Amazon.com or any fine bookstore. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Diane and I have been delighted to share our personal encounters with spiritual forces of love and compassion that offer all of us the opportunity to know ourselves better and to begin to conquer our fears and any limitation while we accept life and surrender sometimes to life, as Diane did in the water. And we must accept and surrender to it as it is, as there are infinite ways for us to find the truth of our soul and our soul mission. One of the stories that brought tears to my eyes as I was reading the book was that of David Bennett in his chapter Purpose, Purpose, Purpose. What's purpose? David shares his NDE while one night in March 1983 aboard the research vessel, Aloha, he drowned. He describes, Diane, the darkness was emptiness, not good or bad. It lacked emotion, but he was comfortable and no longer in pain. There was something supportive in the state which felt the most natural thing in the world, and there was an omnipresent intelligence at hand. Slowly light started to appear within the darkness and a brighter light in the distance, and he was lifted up emotionally as if it were enveloping him, taking him into what could only be called love. He was becoming part of love. So he was told, this is not your time, you have to return, and you have to return because you have a purpose. Diane and I would have you know that each of us are here in this physical life because we each have a purpose. If we pay attention and open our hearts and minds and listen to our dreams and observe the goodness and love within ourselves, the purpose is going to unfold. We will be able to find joy in knowing we are never alone. Life is not random, and we have the divine spark of creation around us and within us at all times. Knowing that can make all the difference in how you choose to live and open up to what is really possible, infinite possibilities. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about encounters with spiritually guided people, science, psychology, medicine, energy healing, NDEs, miracles, and leaders who seek to find answers to age-old questions. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.